Welcome to Faith, Frauds, and Falsehoods. Every month, we take a deep dive into the history, social issues, and theology of a different cult. From the infamous to the lesser known, we examine how these groups operate, why people are drawn to them, and how they differ from true Christian teachings.
Through careful research and analysis, we aim to shed light on the complex and often controversial world of cults. And to provide insight into the unique challenges they pose to individuals, families, and society as a whole. So whether you're a curious bystander, a former member, or simply interested in the intersection of religion and culture, we invite you to join us on this journey of discovery and understanding.
And don't forget, while you're here, to like and comment and subscribe to stay up to date to our latest content. And as always, we thank you for joining us on this journey of exploration of faith, frauds, and falsehoods.
Before we get started, let us be clear. The opinions that we present are ours alone and do not represent the views or opinions of our respective churches or employers. Now let's begin.
All right, that does it. So we're here. We're back.
This
is episode 2 of the Fundamentalist Latter-day Saints, where we get to talk about the things that they teach.
The FLDS.
You know, normally... Right, we're talking about a cult that we have to say what they taught, but these guys are still technically around, so these are things that they're actively teaching.
Well, when we left it in history, their current prophet, their leader, was in prison and still running the cult.
Yep,
and that's where he is today.
Yeah. I was sitting here reading his book when you jumped on this call, so it's still going. I don't know if we could even say that it's surviving, right? I think it's going the way of the dodo, just one person at a time.
Well, I know a lot of people have defected and left the cult.
Mm-hmm.
And also, the last I heard, he had prohibited any reproduction, you know? So
yep.
that couldn't happen. He wouldn't even let husbands and wives hug anymore. They're only allowed to quickly shake hands. Mothers and children also are not allowed to hug. But there's less and less right. children as time go along because there's no new children being born into the FLDS.
Yep.
I don't believe there's anybody converting into it. It was very rare for that
Surely
in the first
not.
Place. It happened right. back in the day, but later on it really wasn't happening because you kind of got to be born into it.
Right. Yeah, it sounds to me kind of like he has started to give up and say, you know, I'm not ever going to get out of jail, so we're just going to let it die. Let me be the last.
Yes.
Instead of passing the torch and letting someone else do it.
But, as we mentioned before, the FLDS are not the only fundamentalist Latter-day Saints.
Right.
They go by this name. Yep. There are other fundamentalist Latter-day Saints who are led by yep. different prophets. And we'll probably talk about mm-hmm. them as we go on.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, we had talked a little bit about following this path for a little bit and seeing where it leads.
Yeah, because the FLDS is a cult that was born from a cult, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about that. Where are we going to start talking about their teachings?
So, you know, I've got 5 really high points that I wrote down, and I was telling you just a minute ago that I could take one of these and probably talk for an hour and a half, right?
Whoa, buddy.
We're going to just, I know, we're not going to do that. Not tonight. We'll go to lunch one day and talk about one of these.
That's a plan.
But there we go. So I want to focus on just 3 things. If we can get to the other 2 in our 30-minute timeline, then great. But if not, it's okay. They're not key to the FLDS, right? There are things that are going to come up in the other groups that we talk about, and eventually, if and when we talk about the LDS, there are things that are going to come up there too.
And y'all should know, y'all notice that part of the way this show works is that Brian and I are friends, but we look at things differently and we approach things differently.
Mm-hmm.
He is concerned about the 30 minutes. As most of y'all know, I have no concern whatsoever about this show being 30 minutes. Although I think it was my idea to be shorter.
Oh. It was very much your idea when we moved over to YouTube to say, you know, we need these to be shorter episodes so that
people can watch
people are more likely to keep watching.
Yep. Yeah.
Because if y'all go back and listen to our first episode on Tony Alamo, it was like 3.5 hours long. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then Jim Jones was just as long. And I think the CSA was about 2.5 hours long. And then we decided we were going to cut them into pieces because it was just too much.
Yeah. So yeah. Let's start from the beginning there here. What's this first point
let's,
here?
Let's start with the FLDS and really the LDS and the other branches of,
because we can't talk about the FLDS without starting with the LDS, where they came from.
Right. Right. We're going to try to avoid that, right? Cause our goal is to kind of work backwards, but there's going to be some things. There's this belief in the prophetic calling of the leader. So if you look back throughout the Old Testament and even into the New, right, we see the prophets of God that are kind of set apart. You know, Isaiah has the great temple experience. Jeremiah, right, he's picked up literally by the hand of God and is told that he's special. Paul walking on his way to Damascus. No, where was Paul headed? My brain just completely gave up. Anyway, because yeah. I wanted to say on the road to Emmaus, because we're walking into Holy Week, and I just, yeah.
Oh, see, my brain went other places. I thought Amadeus. But when you said that, but yeah. Actually, when you talk about prophetic calling, not so much the initial calling, but I think of Elijah, sleeping.
Both.
And mm-hmm. God bringing an angel to him and waking him up. That wasn't when he was called.
Samuel.
Was that Samuel? That was Samuel.
That was Samuel. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, I always think about that because I always think about, what if an angel woke me up?
Right.
I've never seen an angel, and I don't really want to talk to an angel, honestly.
Mm-mm.
I mean, I don't hate angels or something.
Terrifying.
But it's terrifying, exactly. Right. And think about what Paul didn't know who it was at first. But he immediately said, Lord, well, Lord.
Yeah, maybe.
He was fearful.
I mean, he did say, who are you, Lord?
Yes,
but
that's my point.
Anyway, right. The point, though, is that the FLDS, right, has this idea that the leader is continuing in this pattern, right? And they are specifically chosen by God to be the one person that is the mouthpiece of God to his followers.
Yes, and this came from the prophet Joseph Smith.
Joseph
from
Smith.
From the LDS.
Right. Sort of, right? So, yes, Joseph Smith started with this one man, one person kind of thing. Then the LDS kind of went into more of a presbytery eldership type of setup. And the FLDS, when they broke away, continued that eldership until Johnson
mm-hmm.
said, you know, no more. Right. And we talked about that last week. Right. He basically booted everybody out.
That was Uncle Roy.
A couple of them died. He didn't replace them. Right. He didn't replace them and then kicked out the rest of them and reinstituted this one man doctrine, this one person who speaks for God as the key holder of God's authority on the earth.
Right. They don't believe in, and they believe individuals can talk to God, but individuals don't receive a revelation from God, only through the prophet.
Right.
When the prophet speaks, the prophet is God speaking.
Mm-hmm. Which is, when we get to the LDS, there's a little bit of contradiction there. Big surprise that a cult has contradictions in it. But a big part of the salvation experience of LDS members and most likely FLDS is that sudden revelation within yourself of the truth, right? So it is still a revelation to you, but it's not the same kind of revelation, right? The prophets that are in leadership of the FLDS in particular are more like John the Revelator than someone who just receives from the Holy Spirit guidance.
Well, and their right. their prophet goes as far as to declare salvation or not, right?
Mm-hmm.
Take it in, can take it away and give it back, and kind of back and forth,
right?
Which Warren Jeffs right, is real well known for,
right? They are considered the key holder, right? You know, if you go back and look at Jesus' words that he's given the keys, to the apostles, right? Whatever's bound in heaven is bound in heaven. Whatever's loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. Right. It's kind of that mentality, right? And it's taken to the extreme, much further than what the church has taught for the last 2,000 years. You know, and his specific revelations, right, oftentimes come in a book that's 800 pages long, right? And it's just gobbledygook, for lack of a better word. I was reading it, and I don't know if, and I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, but you know me, right? I don't know if Warren Jeffs is just illiterate or has no idea how to write, right? Because there's zero grammar, right, at all. It's just bad. It's bad writing to begin with. And it either makes someone believe or it makes someone laugh, right? And by that, you know, you think about if someone were to be suddenly receiving revelation from Jesus and scribbling as fast as they could, you could see, you know, mistakes, right? So you could make that argument and be like, you know, it was all coming so fast, I couldn't keep up with it. And I didn't want to go back and edit my words in case I edited it wrong.
Now, this is the famous book that he
I don't think that's what he's doing.
And sent to the prosecutors, right. The judge, the police, yep. Everybody. This is the famous book he spent $2 million and had printed and distributed to all these mm-hmm. people, thinking that they would convert and believe in him or something and let him go, right?
Right.
Yep. So these are all revelations that came out before. When was he convicted again?
Like 2006?
Yeah, something like that.
2008?
So these are not recent revelations. He's been making more and more of these revelations up until very recently. He commonly writes letters from jail with more, mm-hmm. and he makes personal revelations to individual people as well. This mm-hmm. is the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, which he refers to himself as speaking for, to, you know, Bob Neely, or I made up that name, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He does that with his followers, individually revelations to them.
Right.
I totally made up that name. I know that's a real person that I think about it, but.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I'm like, I'm pretty sure that I know someone named Bob Neely. But anyway, but every person in this group, right, is expected to submit their will to the will of the leader. In this case, at the moment, it's Warren Jeffs.
Which is a very common cult thing. His
father, Rulon.
We've mm-hmm. seen that in other cults, whether it was give up your ego, man, or, you know, follow me.
Right. Which, you know, sometimes it's been, you know, like Manson, right? A lot of Manson was, I'm going to force you to follow me, right? I'm going to manipulate you and make you do what I want, right?
Right. He was the ego one. He's like, give up your ego and submit.
Uh-huh.
You know,
right. Jim Jones was pretty similar, more manipulative and less about the force. There at a point, it became all about the force. But this guy, he's doing it through fear. Right. He's teaching these people from birth. Right. That he controls their salvation.
Yes. And he actively will take away their salvation for a while to punish them.
I was reading an article as I was kind of getting ready for this. And the author talked about a 15-year-old kid, right, who had left the cult, had said, I'm done, right? And separated himself or was separated, however that process works for them. And right before the Boston Marathon bombing, right, if you remember that.
Dude.
And just previously, right, Jeffs had prophesied that there would be blood in the streets and all of this death and torment and fear going throughout the U.S. Right before his release and subsequent return of Christ, right? And this kid was absolutely terrified because at that moment he thought, I walked away from salvation and it's fixing to happen and I'm doomed, right? That's psychological torture.
Mm-hmm.
That is horrible. And that's how this guy controls these people.
I've seen a story of a 14-year-old kid that is actually his son, one of his sons, one of his many, many sons, that he called up one day from prison and told him mm-hmm. that he was a sinner, an unrepentant sinner, and he was out. So he's losing his salvation. Sent him away. He's 14. Sent him to go work doing roofs with some other FLDS members, but he's no longer a member, so they're no longer allowed to talk to him. And he was supposed to still work and give his money to the church. And he was in a room all by himself. His mama was allowed to call him to tell him that she'd never be able to speak to him again. He's 14 years old. He tried to kill himself.
Right.
He thought mm-hmm. he was done. His salvation was over. There's no reason to live.
Right.
Now, just got to add this part. His mama later left the group. And I think she was kicked out too. But she called her son a second time and he thought he would never hear her again. Maybe a year later. But he went a year that right. his whole mother told him she wouldn't talk to him. His father told him he's lost his salvation. You know, he used to not having a relationship with his father, who was the prophet, but he wasn't used to not having a relationship with right. his mama. Yeah, you're right. It's psychological warfare.
Yeah, it is. And it's horrendous.
It's evil.
Right. And a lot of it stems from this one man doctrine, right? It's taken just to the extreme that it can be. And it's evil. So let's jump down to the bottom one, right? Because the other one is where everyone's going to want to listen. So we're going to make everyone wait till the third one where we talk about polygamy, right?
Just say he was a racist. There you go.
He is a racist.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to decide if I want to use how I want to go about saying it, but there's just no better way to say it.
Right. Don't get us on the explicit thing. You can leave off SOB,
right.
But racist.
Yeah. He, so did you, while I'm kind of laying out some stuff, make sure you read those two little pictures that I threw in there if you haven't read them yet. So Jeff's, when he was actively teaching, was actively teaching that all races that were not white, but particularly the black race, is inferior, right? It's a lower class, teaching that they were filthy, immoral people, right? That they're just evil, right? Just by being different, right, makes them evil. One of the things that he said that really irks me, right? Because one, it's just bad exegesis. But
and this is he
said
it, stolen, isn't it? This is he's not unique in this.
He is not unique in this, right? If you remember, right, the CSA had very similar teachings that came from the KKK. He said at one point, it was necessary that the devil should have a representation on earth as well as God. One, that's never necessary. That's, again, bad exegesis. So Ham's wife, right, if you remember, Ham was Noah's son, was preserved on the ark So Ham's wife that was preserved on the ark was a Negro of the seed of Cain, and there was a priestly purpose in it that the devil would have a representation as well as God. I wish that I could tell you where he gets that idea from. Right. I should have done better this week. I could have made time to read through the Book of Mormon and figure out where he finds that in the Book of Mormon, because it's not in the Bible anywhere. But
I've not read enough to know if it is in the Book of Mormon, so I don't want to say that yet. When we get to that, we'll talk more about it.
Right. Well, it's not. You're right. I probably shouldn't say that's where it is, but it's not in the Bible.
Yeah.
Right. But he says that it's in scriptures. Right.
It is a concept I've heard of their scriptures.
So it is. Like we said, it came up in the CSA discussion, CSA being the white supremacist, far extremist right group in North Arkansas. Go back and listen to that episode. It's on our podcast. So he also went on to say that no one who mingles their blood with that of the seed of Cain could attain the rights and blessings conferred by the prophet, right, as far as salvation, exaltation, godhood, etc. So, racist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why is it the always these hillbilly inbred people that are so racist?
Right.
Because we'll mention the FLDS is very inbred. Dave's marrying cousins and stuff all over the place. Not to mention Warren Jeff himself, who was raping his own daughters and some of his sons, maybe. Definitely his nephews.
Right.
Because he was into little boys, too. But every time, they're racist as well. What in the world?
Yep.
Well, actually, I know what in the world. Evil is evil.
Evil.
And it's funny how it progresses in similar ways. You know, funny, he talks about Lucifer and such. Evil does exist. Satan exists.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's funny how the same things get used over and over again. We see this in multiple groups. We see similar concepts and things. It's not that they're conferring together, but there's some spiritual warfare happening.
Right.
Well, we use the words, what do we use now? Fake news. There's a lot of fake news being put out there in the spiritual realm.
Yep.
And this is some of that right there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this whole cult is a perversion of the truth. They had the truth and then they just perverted it more and more and more. What was you thinking about the fake news?
Well, I'm just wondering if they ever actually had the truth.
Well,
I don't.
Their Bible does include.
I don't think
the scriptures. They just added to it.
Yeah, but they added to it, and then they
do modify.
They read
things
out of it that's not right.
Yeah, well, and their translation is a little different. They have they change some of the scriptures as well as adding. That's my point. Joseph Smith had access to the truth, but he chose to corrupt it. And it's just gotten more corrupt.
Right.
Now, the LDS made some changes. Again, I'm trying not to cover them at the same time here. But they made some changes that made them more susceptible to American society. And they dropped some of these things. I don't know if they had this racist thing. I suspect when we go into that, we'll find that they did, though. But I don't really know.
Yes, they did. Right? So those other things that I posted... just above that section, right? It's recorded Jeff's words, and he's quoting some things from Brigham Young, right? So the second president of the LDS, right? So there's at least some idea that the seed of Cain was the black race, right? At least as far back as Brigham Young. And if Brigham Young taught it, then Joseph Smith probably taught it as well.
Wait. There's another fallacy. So if that was from Cain, which we know it wasn't, what about the whole story of Noah?
What about it?
Well, didn't everybody but Noah's family die?
Right, but Ham's wife is considered to remember, if you go back and remember, the devil needed representation on Earth. So Ham's wife that was preserved was of the black race. So that's how that was, how the devil's representation was preserved.
This whole thing's weird.
You know, you got it. It is, right? It's so broken, right? It sets up a duality, right? We can get into the issue there of dualism rather than Christ is king, right?
Well, and that's exactly what they get to, right? Christ is not king in their theology.
Right.
Christ was but a prophet, and more so, his teachings have been corrupted, and Joseph Smith was revealed certain things. Again, it's almost impossible to cover the FLDS without talking about the LDS here.
Right. Yep. So I don't think that Jeffs was calling for a race war like Charles Manson.
No, I don't think so either.
But
he was much more an isolationist.
Well, but he said this. He, talking about Cain, killed his brother. The Lord put a mark on him, and there are some of his children in this room. When all the other children of Adam have had the privilege of receiving the priesthood and of coming into the kingdom of God and of being redeemed from the four quarters of the earth and have received their resurrection from the dead, then it will be time enough to remove the curse from Cain and his posterity. He deprived his brother of the privilege of pursuing his journey through life and of extending his kingdom by multiplying upon the earth. And because he did this, he is the last to share in the joys of the kingdom of God. So the very first time that I read that, my very first thought was, honestly, to use the newsworthy term, dog whistle.
Dog whistle. Right.
The very first thing that I thought of,
what does that mean?
Was the black people. That it's a message within the other message, right? Telling your people what to do without explicitly saying it.
Okay.
Right. And the very first thing that I thought was, he's telling his people it's okay to kill black people. Reading it just now, right, I see that the words that he's using are saying after the end, after resurrection, then the blackness will be removed from these people and they can be part of the kingdom.
I find it interesting that he mentioned there are some of his children in this room. Mm-hmm. Because like you said, he led with fear. He was constantly condemning people. He never was encouraging his people. He was always condemning them.
Yep. Yep. So, you know, I'm on the fence there as to what he was saying, but who knows?
And
he was quite the racist.
An interesting thing is that they never practice love bombing. That's a common thing we see with a lot of cults because they weren't really recruiting, right? So they did have some people join them from the LDS. Mm-hmm. And they didn't really consider that recruiting. But for the most part, they weren't recruiting and they weren't doing love bombing. Oh, we're going to love into this. It was very much a culture of shame.
Mm-hmm.
And this right here, like you said, he was calling out and saying black people were a lower class, basically.
Yep. And in the same thing, turning around and saying, "There's some of you in this room."
Yeah.
Right. It's just he was berating people and beating them down to make them submit to him, because that makes sense. Authority is not taken; it is given. But
power can be taken, though. He wasn't claiming authority. He was claiming power.
True.
So let's go to
uses
our
the word power a lot in this book.
Yeah. I didn't realize that, but let's go to our third segment here.
Our third segment. the belief in the principle of plural marriage. Polygamy.
They also call that celestial marriage, right?
Celestial marriage. Yep.
And there's a reason for that.
When are you getting your second wife, Matt?
Me? Have you met my first wife?
Yeah. I have.
Then you know well that she would be planning my funeral if I was to try to bring another woman home.
No, she wouldn't. She would not plan a funeral for you.
Oh, she would.
You'd be out in the bottom of the lake.
She'd give me a nice funeral. She's pretty bold. Yeah. I always joke she would cut me.
That's true. That's true. She is pretty bold.
She would cut me.
Yeah.
But are you signing up? I think y'all don't do that in the Orthodox circles.
Oh, no. No. Oh, goodness. No. No. We're no.
Here's the thing.
Most of us are like, we don't even need the first wife.
I definitely need my wife.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I know that wasn't exactly what you meant, but.
Right. Yeah.
But here's the thing. You know, I jokingly, I'm like, I don't know if I could handle another woman. But honestly, like the dynamics of that. So I've read some of these books of some of these plural marriage things. And this goes back to the same thing we've seen with Manson about the giving up ego. A lot of Manson's girls had trouble competing with the other girls for him. It's the same thing with these plural wives. All the books and the articles and the stories I've read about, a lot of them have come from the wives because there's a lot of women that have left, either his wives or other men's wives. And they all talked about struggling with sharing their husbands. It's a big deal. There's a... popular TV show, I don't remember the name of it, about polygamists. They're nominally Mormon, but they're not
FLDS. Sister wives or whatever. Yeah. Yep.
And they've all basically left now because of struggling with each other and things. It's not made to be that way. Now, I realize there was multiple wives in the Old Testament. We got to realize that was part of the Jewish ways. But I don't think that's the right way. I don't see any good argument for that. Solomon had a whole bunch of wives, but remember, Solomon was blessed by God with wisdom, but he squandered those blessings. The wives was part of his sin. You know, those wives led him to sin, as a matter of fact. Not that it was their fault. Yep. It was 100% his fault. He just gave in and gave in, you know? So yeah, the plural marriage thing is crazy, but they call it celestial marriage, plural marriage, because legally they could not. So they legally could only have one wife. So they celestial marriage, just in the church, they marry the others, which is fine. You are not legally allowed to go to the government and marry multiple women, but you can marry multiple women into your house. Even if you're not legally married to them all. Now they take advantage of this. And we'll talk about this more in the social issues. Very common for the FLDS to collect government assistance and food stamps. Originally, Warren's family never did. It was a big source of pride. The Prophet's family doesn't do this. But after they lost a whole bunch of money and he squandered it and lost it in lawsuits and stuff, he made them go sign up for food stamps and things. And you don't, they weren't signing up and saying, oh, we're a family with one husband and seven wives. No, they were signing up as single mamas because legally they were single mamas with eight kids.
They were single mamas.
And so our tax dollars were supporting them and still are.
They call it bleeding the beast.
Really?
Yep.
Interesting.
That was it. Yep. I almost wrote it in here and I was like, that fits more with the social issues. But,
okay. We'll talk more about that. So tell us more about this plural marriage thing.
Yeah. So it really stems from section 132 of the Doctrines and Covenants from the LDS, right? Joseph Smith. Again, it's
first prophet, the man who started the LDS, the Mormons, the Latter-day Saints.
Yep. It was revealed to him, that marriage was such an important piece of eternity, that if you were married, I didn't write all of the notes down. I should have. But if you were married, but not married by the appointing and approval of the prophet, if and when you died, you were not married in heaven and therefore could not be God's.
Oh, you wrote that down.
You were limited to the class of... Oh, did I? Okay, you were limited to the class of angels, right? You then became an angel and served the others that became gods.
So that's something that you haven't brought up yet. I know it's more of an LDS thing, but we have to mention it. So their thing, we believe you die and go to heaven, but we're still humans. They mm-hmm. believe that you die and you are a god. You're just here on earth. God is the god we worship is the, I don't know what they call him, the central god, the something god. But he's never taken a human body. But they believe that people become gods, right?
You're hurting my head.
Okay.
okay. There's just so much contradiction and breaking, right? Because God specifically did take a human body. His name is Jesus.
Right, but
and they even say that Jesus is God. So how do you make that idea mesh
without
a bunch of...
But this idea that you die and become a god, basically, that's a big breaking thing, because Christianity does not teach you die and become a god. This is one of the central things.
At times, there is teaching, right, that theosis, right, which is salvation, is to become by grace what God is by nature, or what Christ is by nature, right? To become one and partakers of the divine nature of God, which is in First Peter.
Partakers of nature is not becoming a god.
It's not becoming a god.
So Christianity doesn't teach you becoming a god.
So it is kind of that.
And it's not like...
you don't become a different god, right, of a different planet that spawns your own earth.
Well, and this is where there's a major difference between the LDS, the Mormons, and Christianity. They say they're a Christian, mm-hmm. they're a Christian denomination. But this is one of those things that are so different that it makes them not a Christian denomination.
Right.
Christians don't view them as a Christian denomination because the basic theology is completely different. They're using the same some of the same names, but the base theology is so completely different.
Right. It's not a difference. They use the name Jesus, but they're not talking about the same Jesus.
Right. It's not a difference in sprinkling or dunking here or baptizing the Holy Spirit or whatever. It's major difference.
Right.
So it's important to know that, because they're literally talking about, I get to become a god. Well, that's a pretty big deal, right? Mm-hmm. So salvation, but we're talking about a man. So he would become an angel, which would be a servant to God, not a god.
Right. Right.
So must have be married there. Now, you didn't mention anything about the number of wives here.
So 132 does eventually get into the number of wives down in 61 and 62. So if a man and a woman are not married, appointed, and approved by the prophet, their marriage is null and void at death, right? And so that's a big deal, right? So you have to go to the prophet, right? Again, coming back to the prophet is the one in charge. You have to have his blessing. You have to do it his way or no way, right? And so this Doctrines and Covenants section 132 goes on to talk about Abraham, right? If you remember, Abraham did have multiple wives, and that the promise of innumerable descendants is yours also, right? It's Christ talking to Joseph Smith. Is yours also, because you are of Abraham and the promise was made to Abraham. So he's making that connection already to, you have to have lots of descendants, but to have lots and lots of descendants as innumerable as the sand, you're going to have multiple wives, right? That's just not a very logical way to make that happen without doing so. And then in 61, right, he goes on and he says, if any man espouses a virgin and desires to espouse another, and the first gives her consent, right? So very early on, there was that idea that the first had to approve it. Wasn't the case later, but it was at the beginning. And if he espoused the second, and they are virgins, and have vowed to no other man, then he is justified. So just before this, he's talking about adultery and what counts and doesn't count as adultery. Because, you know, Matthew chapter 5 wasn't enough, right? It has to have more detail. Then he is justified. He cannot commit adultery, for they are given to him, right? For he cannot commit adultery with that that belongs unto him and to no one else. And if he has 10 virgins given to him by this law, he cannot commit adultery, for they belong to him and they are given unto him. Therefore, he is justified.
Right? Yeah, so they're saying it's not adultery to marry multiple women.
It's not adultery. It's, and so all of this marriage, right? The more marriage, the better, right? You've got your higher standing.
Well,
your
the higher the number, the
progressing
better.
And,
but there was also a minimum mm-hmm. number. So in the FLDS, the minimum number was 3. You mm-hmm. did not qualify for salvation unless you had 3 wives. The wives attain salvation through their husbands.
Through their husbands, okay.
So as a young woman, you get your salvation through your father, but when you're to be married, you get your salvation through your husband. If you're single, then you cannot attain salvation. So they believe right. they have to be, and then the prophet is the one who marries everybody, and the prophet is the one who makes the decision. So another story right here,
mm-hmm.
there was a man who was, he had joined the FLDS. He was somebody who had joined
mm-hmm.
and had one wife,
okay.
learned more and more about it. He was LDS and then joined about it. His first wife was not real into it, but she decided that she was okay with it, and he got a second wife given to him by Rulon Jeffs.
Okay. Which is Warren Jeffs' father.
Yes, yep. Who was the prophet before him. Then he wanted a third wife because he needed a third wife to obtain salvation. And he had several girls. And he denied it, but his daughter says this is what happened. And they have recordings showing this is what happened that they played on the Dr. Phil show. He basically traded his daughters, 2 of his daughters. He turned them in. That's the term they use, is turn them in.
Mm-hmm.
He turned them in to be married to the prophet. And the prophet at the time was Rulon. And actually it was at the time Rulon, but Warren was actually running things and making the decisions at that time.
Right.
And both of his daughters ended up becoming Rulon's wives, who eventually became Warren Jeff's wife. One of them decided she would not be Warren Jeff's wife. And whenever Warren tried to take all the wives, she left. She's the one wife mm-hmm. who left. She refused to be married to him. He told her he would own her, and she said no. But basically, her father traded her so that Rulon, or in this case, actually, it was really Warren, so the prophet would give him his third wife.
Third wife.
So he could attain salvation. So he literally traded his little girl. She was 18 at the time, but he was treating her as property. That's basically a child when you're treating her as property to me.
Which, you know, is something we'll talk about next week, the treatment of women and children, and they are very much property.
Well, it said there, as you read in 62,
they're different than...
that belongeth mm-hmm. unto him. You know, my wife don't belong to me.
It's no different than... No. For them, it's no different than passing a book around. It's just a piece of property.
Well, which he also did. So Warren Jess has mm-hmm. been known to take one person's wife, but he gave them that wife anyway, took that wife and assigned it to someone else. He's been known to take a man and say, okay, you're out, you're disfellowship. That's the other thing. He actively would take any strong people out of the group and disfellowship them and send them out mm-hmm. and cast them out so that he wouldn't be challenged. It's very common for him to do that to this day. That's why his 14-year-old son was sent out. You know who else used to do that? Saddam Hussein came to power just like his uncle came to power, and just like some other relatives of his came to power. He was a security officer and killed off the person that was in charge.
Yep. Kim Jong-il did it. Kim Jong-un does it. Putin does it, right? It's just, it is part of, bless you, it is part of dictatorship, right? It is just...
Evil 101, right?
Evil 101, yep.
So... Well, listen, I think that about wraps up the basic teachings.
Yeah.
I know we've skipped over some things, but you're going to cover some more stuff in the blog post about this episode, aren't you?
I will try to, yes.
Well, I'm not saying you got to write a lot, but you already wrote some notes and some other things. such as their views on nature of God and afterlife and things like that. I bet if you could just put this outline in there, that would be very good information.
Right. Yep. Yep. And we'll definitely be talking about that and the Book of Mormon and the other Pearl of Great Price and Doctrines and Covenants as we talk more about other FLDS type groups and the LDS themselves.
There's so much here.
So
there's so much here.
There is. There's a wealth of, I'd say a wealth. There's a treasure trove for us to dig through and make lots of episodes on. So it's great.
All right. Well, listen,
keeps us busy for a while.
Thanks y'all for being with us this week. We'll return next episode and we're going to talk about the social issues.
We'll see you then. Thank you for joining us here on Faith, Frauds, and Falsehoods. Don't forget that we have our website, faithfraudsfalsehoods.com, where we post a more detailed blog with references so that you can go and take a look at all of this information for yourself. Also, remember to share this with a friend and help us get the word out there for everyone else. We'll see you in the next one.